Our call to worship tonight comes from Psalm 98. Hear the word of the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
our Savior is the King of creation and is worthy of glory, honor, praise, and adoration. And it is this God who lovingly carried us through the day and gathers us for worship tonight, saying to us, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ by the mighty and sustaining work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to worship this evening at LaGrave Avenue Christian Reformed Church. We gather once more today to remember who God is and who we are. And by the power of the Spirit, we are united as one church family. United to those in the sanctuary, united to those joining through live stream, and united to the church universal. So welcome. May the peace of God rule in our hearts, and may the word of Christ dwell among us richly as we worship in spirit and truth. Our worship tonight focuses on the theme of the lamp of God, which is the revelation of God in the world. For us, as New Testament Christians, the word of God and the person of Jesus Christ reveal the character of God to us. We begin our service tonight with a reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Hear the word of God from Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, the church. I have become its servant by the commission of God gave to me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mercy, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
As we continue in worship and respond to the revelation of God through the Word of God in the person of Jesus Christ, we declare our faith together, the message of hope for the world. Will you stand as we use the words of the Nicene Creed, printed in your order of worship, to unite with the Church Universal? With one voice, we proclaim,
we believe in one God, the Father, Maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to the life in the world to come.
Let us now approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that we have a great high priest who hears our prayer. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you, our triune God, for you are holy and the ruler of all, yet you dwell in and among us, your children. You put the stars in their places, and you so closely watch over us. You raised the mountains, and with those same hands, you hold us. You separated the heavens from the earth and the water from the land, and you gather us into fellowship. We are mindful of your expansive reach. You stretch your arms around the world you love, sustaining all things by your grace. Tonight, as we consider the revelation of God in the world, we are thankful for missionaries. We especially pray for Reverend Mark, who leads Reframe's French ministry in Africa, and for Reverend Emily Vandenhuvel, who coordinates pastoral care for Reframe's English ministry. Thank you, Lord, for the honor of joining with the Holy Spirit to bring the good news of Emmanuel, God with us, into the world. For those of us whose missions fields look more like neighborhoods, boardrooms, medical clinics, living rooms, or classrooms, remind us that we bring the peace of Christ when we faithfully show up day after day after day. We also remember the work of the Church Universal, the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church to which we belong. Lord, in just a few city blocks, we are near the Presbyterian Church, the Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, the United Methodist Church, and the United Church of Christ. By the power of your Holy Spirit, may we join together in seeking the peace and prosperity of our city, multiply our efforts to love and welcome the stranger into the family of God. Thank you for the unique ways each of these congregations seek to be the light of Christ in our city. And for the church family we love, LaGrave Church, we are thankful for your faithfulness across many years and challenges. Almighty God, give us wisdom as we prepare for fall programming. Thanks for the multitude of volunteers who make this a warm and loving faith community. Thank you for safety and good health for Pastor Rachel and the crew backpacking group. Thank you for the nursery and church school volunteers who come week after week to fulfill baptism vows for so many young people at LaGrave. We remember the dedicated workers on the welcoming and fellowship committees, creatively finding ways to strengthen our connections to each other. We do all these things for your glory, Lord. In you we live and move and have our being. For when the time was right, you saw fit to send the fullness of your glory to dwell among us in the person of Jesus Christ. We love one another because Jesus first loved us. We carry the message of light and life into the world with the example of our brother Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now, Lord, as we turn to Scripture, make your word our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern, for the sake of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture tonight comes from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, which can be found on page 420 of your pew Bible. I will read the first 10 verses and end with verses 19 through 21. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was laying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. This is the word of the Lord. As we continue in worship tonight, exploring the theme of the lamp of God, God's revelation in the world, we turn now towards a time in the history of God's people when God's revelation was scarce. There was no Bible like we have today. The birth of Christ was far away, and God's people were not in a season of God's active revelation. Now, as New Testament Christians, we don't know much about that experience. We have the Bible, God's word of revelation. We have our brother, Jesus, the image of the invisible God. And we have the Holy Spirit, the illuminator of God's revelation. However, we do have seasons in our church year when we experience a similar darkness and absence of God's revelation. Advent situates us in a season of anticipating the birth of Jesus. We wait in darkness for the light of Christ to arrive. During Holy Week, we observe Maundy Thursday, in which we lose the Christ candle from the sanctuary. The symbolic light of Christ is extinguished as we remember the death of Jesus. The Easter Vigil, observed by many Anglican churches, happens in the darkness, mourning the absence of God in the world. And thankfully, we have many church seasons to celebrate the revelation of God in the world. The light of Christ among us, Epiphany is the season following Advent and Christmas, in which we celebrate the proclamation of God's revelation in Christ, and we bring the good news of Emmanuel, God with us, into the world. And Easter Sunday. In fact, all of Eastertide, we celebrate the return of the light of Christ in Jesus' resurrection. Friends, the darkness will never overcome the light. But let's return now to a time in the history of God's people when God was not fully revealed in Jesus and when the world was spiritually dark. In our story, we learn that Samuel is in both spiritual darkness and actual darkness. The word of the Lord was rare in the days of Samuel, and Samuel did not yet know the Lord. So we enter into Samuel's and Israel's story in a dark time, a time of chaos. Israel is living as a collection of tribes, ruled by various judges, not yet a unified kingdom with one king. And remember the history of Israel so far. God rescued them from slavery and established a covenant with them. They entered the promised land, but failed to live as God's faithful people. Our story is situated in this chaotic time, and Israel is in need of wise and faithful leaders. And that's where we find the boy Samuel, around 12 years old, serving in the temple with Eli. Eli was a priest of Shiloh and the second to last Israelite judge before the rule of the kings of Israel and Judah. Eli doesn't have a great track record as a priest or a judge. In the beginning of 1 Samuel, Eli encounters Hannah, who will become the mother of Samuel. She's in the temple praying for a child. And Eli accuses her of being drunk while she prays. Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were terrible priests as well, giving little regard to God or their duties. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, Eli confronts his sons, and they don't respond. So the priesthood of Eli will end with him. The house of Eli no longer has favor with God. Samuel's story is situated in a time of spiritual darkness, but also actual darkness, as it is not yet dawn. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. Now, this lamp is a real lamp in the sanctuary of the temple that burns through the night until morning. Since the lamp had not gone out yet, we know that morning has not arrived. It's still dark outside. But tonight, as we've considered the lamp of God as the revelation of God, the mention of this lamp in our story is curious. It certainly helps us situate the story in time. We know it's night, but perhaps it helps foreshadow more than the coming light of dawn. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. Could it be that Samuel will play a part in making the lamplight shine bright once again? It's also curious that Eli's blurry vision is mentioned. Now, I've heard this is a symptom of aging, but perhaps more than that, Eli's blurry vision is a symbol of his inability to see God. Visions were not common. The word of the Lord was rare. Is the revelation of God coming for Samuel? Although, as the Church of Christ, we have the revelation of God in the Word and in Jesus Christ, we don't have to look far to notice spiritual darkness all around us. Sometimes it's dark in our world, our country, our city, our neighborhood, our church, our homes, even our own spirits. We may feel like the Israelites or Samuel. The word of the Lord seems rare. Visions of light and life are not widespread. In our world, we want leaders who are looking out for the good of everyone. We want the lamp of God to be bright. Now, in church history, we live after the time of Christ. We have the revelation of God through the Word and through Jesus, illuminated by the Spirit. And in the church year, it's not Advent, with its darkness and shadows and longings for Christ. And it's not Holy Week, when we exist in the church without the light of Christ. But it sure can seem dark. Nearly 10 years ago in 2015, Amina Brown, a spoken word poet, wrote a piece called Advent for Weary Souls. What I love about this poem is the way she gives words to the timeless sense of spiritual darkness we experience in a broken world. I want to read a selected portion of her poem to you. This year has brought us tears and sorrow, watching our world, like the very ground beneath us, tremble with fear, racism, death, hate. So many questions without answers. So many mothers who have had to bury their children. We cannot unplug from the noise of the news. Our world is being torn at its seams by the tug of war, finding it difficult to make or keep peace. The fight for human rights, the fear of disease, the voice of militants, lives are being snuffed and stolen. Typhoons, airstrikes, open fire. Our cities and towns are at an unrest. As we wrestle with the violence of lone gunmen, immigration, race relations, as we watch our neighborhoods turn into war zones, we don't hear the wounds. We just take sides and divide to find our us so we can accuse them. We have stopped listening. We find ourselves with angry fists in what is supposed to be the season of giving. There have been breaches in our confidence and trust. We have lost our ability to mourn with those who mourn, to see injustice with disgust. Those feelings you notice when you hear this poem, maybe despair, anger, sadness, or longing, hold on to those for a minute in your heart as we return to our text. In our story, we find Samuel laying down in the temple near the Ark of God, and Eli is laying someplace else. All of a sudden, Samuel is stirred by the voice of the Lord calling to him. Samuel responds by calling out to Eli, "Here I am." Before he goes to see where Eli is, perhaps stumbling around corners and down hallways in the dark. Finding Eli, he says, "I'm here. You called me." But Eli didn't call Samuel, so he sent him back to his place to lay down. After finally settling down, perhaps calming his rapidly beating heart, after jumping awake upon hearing his name called, Samuel hears the call of the Lord again. He gets up, perhaps more aware of his surroundings than last time, and walks to Eli's place. He finds Eli, and once more he learns that Eli didn't call him. Maybe Samuel's walk back to bed this time looked kind of like that Charlie Brown walk. His shoulders are slumped over. You know the one I'm talking about. But Samuel's return to Eli twice now, expecting that Eli was the one calling, makes sense, since we know that Samuel spent the majority of his young life ministering before the Lord under Eli. Perhaps that's why we find this clarification in verse 7, right after the second call of the Lord to Samuel, which he thinks is from Eli. Scripture says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." Maybe this is a clue that helps explain the confusion so far. Between Eli's blurry vision and Samuel's young spirit, neither of them has a clear sense from where this call is coming. And so, in what we might identify as the persistence of God, God calls once more to Samuel. And at this point, Samuel might not even be asleep anymore, and he certainly knows what's going to happen. He gets up, marches to Eli, and says, "Here I am, for you called me." And it is now, at this third call, that Eli perceives correctly. The call is from the Lord. He offers Samuel simple yet profound instructions. "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Samuel does just that. He returns to his place in the temple near the Ark of God once more. Then the Lord calls again as before, but this time the Lord came and stood there. Can you imagine the surprise and extravagance of this call? Samuel has heard the same call three times before. "Samuel." It was pretty low key, but this time he heard and he saw. He heard the call of the Lord because he was listening. And this time Samuel has a response prepared. "Speak, for your servant is listening." His response is what scholars call a formula of differential response to superior authority, which is just a fancy way of saying that this phrase was commonly used to address a person of authority. Samuel finally knew to whom he was responding. And now for a moment, let's be curious about the darkness and the light. Perhaps the temple is brighter because dawn is closer than it was when Samuel first heard the call. The lamp of God in the temple has certainly grown more dim as night is farther away. But that lamp of God, which is God's revelation to the world, has just grown a little brighter. Scripture says the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet to the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. By this call in the night, God made known what was previously hidden to Samuel and Israel. In the chaotic life of the tribes began to shift. Samuel helps the tribes unite into one kingdom and helps guide the monarchy through the rule of Saul to David, Samuel was a key figure in keeping the Israelites' religious heritage and identity alive during Israel's defeat and occupation by the Philistines. And Samuel gained national prominence as a prophet and led the Israelites against the Philistines, which ushered in a long period of peace for the Israelites. Church of Christ, we are living after a different moment when God made known what was yet previously hidden, a revelation far greater than what Samuel and the Israelites lived after. The words from the Gospel according to John chapter 1 tell the story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. What has come into being in him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That word overcome is a weak translation of the Greek word katalambano. More strongly, it means that the darkness cannot seize the light. The darkness cannot possess or catch the light. The darkness cannot even comprehend the light. Friends, perhaps that is the glory of the lamp of God in our story tonight. As the lamp of God that lit the temple through the night burned out, the lamp of God that is the revelation of God was growing brighter. The light of Christ is brighter than any spiritual darkness the world can throw at us. Returning to John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and lived among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Beloved, the lamp of God has not gone out. And not only has it not gone out, we carry it through the presence of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps like Samuel, our mission now is to bring the lamp of God, the revelation of God, to our community. When Samuel finally understood where his call came from, he lived a prophetic life, bringing the word of God and the peace of God to Israel. My friend Thelma carries the light of Christ, which breaks into spiritual darkness, while she works as the executive director of Degage Ministries. Thelma tells a story about watching a woman wandering around our neighborhood outside Degage for over a year. This nameless woman never really looked around, never really stood up straight, never used shelter, never spoke. Thelma and other Degage staff greeted her with kindness, informed her of available services, invited her into the respite of shelter. Finally, this nameless woman began using shelter. She came to Degage for mealtimes, for laundry, for showers. She mentioned her name, but remained mostly silent. Nearly another whole year passed while Degage patrons and staff demonstrated the warm, welcoming love of God. Then about 7 months ago, this formerly nameless, silent, scared woman began telling her story to Thelma and the Degage staff. Beloved, we all have heard the call of God to bring the lamp of God's revelation into the darkness of the world. And we don't do this by dismissing the darkness and desperately hoping for something better. We do this with the confidence in the promises of God, found in the revelation of God by his word and in the person of Jesus Christ. For we have all been the people walking around in darkness, and we are all the people who have seen a great light. The word of the Lord may seem rare, and visions of life and light uncommon, but the lamp of God has not yet gone out. Family of God, we know God through Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the image of the invisible God, and God calls each of us to a personal knowledge of God. One of the proclamations of Epiphany is just that, to celebrate the indwelling of the light of Christ. And it's what Paul speaks for all of us in Philippians chapter 3. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And the promise of God is this: someday we will live after one final experience of God making known what was previously hidden. The holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Imagine this city with me. I saw no temple in the city, says John, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And this city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true, for the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. See, I am coming soon. And so, dear ones, with the revelation of God in and among us, and with the promises of God, we go out into the world with a song in our hearts, for the lamp of God has not yet gone out. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Emmanuel, God with us. We admit at times the world is an overwhelming place to be. Sometimes we feel like the Israelites, lost in the darkness, wondering where you could possibly be at work. Other times we feel like Samuel, hearing a call, but not sure where it's coming from. So, Lord, when the darkness seems overwhelming, open our eyes to the light of Christ. Remind us that the darkness cannot seize your light. And Lord, when we hear a call, calm our hearts and prepare us to say, speak, for your servant is listening. And at the end of the day, remind us that you are with us and we still have a song to sing. Amen.
Thank you.
And now, Church of Christ, may the love of God surround you, the wisdom of Christ guide you, and the power of the Holy Spirit encourage you as you joyfully proclaim, "Our world belongs to God." Amen.